invitation to come. And man, I'm honored to be here, honored and humbled by the invitation. And I love the Bible Baptist Church. I love your pastor. And I appreciate the ministry that God has given him here and the ministry that God has given him around the country. And I bless the Lord. He helps us, and he's preached at our church, preached at our youth meeting. And every time he opens that book, he's got something to say, and I'm grateful for it. Be honest with you, I'm a little bit intimidated. You stand here and you hear that kind of preaching week in and week out. I'll be honest with you, I believe two of the best in shoe leather in America today are sitting right there. And I've said it behind their back, and I'll say it with them sitting here. And I appreciate how God's using them. I wish they'd give me a message, an outline. It'd really help me, amen. I told him after being at the church for 24 years, I've preached everything I know and some things I'm not sure about. Y'all pray for me. Amen. But it is a joy. I was thrilled when Brother Ricky called and invited me to come. I've experienced some wonderful things in this place, some great times. I remember one afternoon in the camp meeting years ago, man, Brother Allen got full back there. I don't know if you remember that. I had in my one hand, and Brother, and he was preaching to us, and he was looking into the third heaven back there, amen. And I thought coming up the road, Brother Jack reminded me. I was thinking about it coming up the road. I was preaching one night years ago, and I got to preaching about Elijah, and I threw my coat up in there. And Brother Laddie, I believe you're the one that got it out of the lights, ain't you? And I got to thinking about Brother Barnard coming up the road, and we were preaching some years after that over in Lawrenceville, and he had to go. I preached before him, and he preached second. And that's the way it should have been, amen. But he got up after me. He looked at that moderator. He said, "I can't believe you." And Brother Soup said, "What do you mean, Brother Barnard?" He said, "You made me preach after that crazy man that throws his coat up in the about burned the church down, amen." And I said, Brother Barnard, I wouldn't worry about the church. They had insurance. I said, but that was a new suit. I didn't want it to burn up. Amen. And aren't you glad we can smile? The Bible said a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I promise you this, there's going to be plenty of places to cry. You better smile and rejoice every chance you get. And I bless the Lord. Brother Ragnar, thank you for letting me come. Brother Chris, I love you. Matthew chapter number 11. This message been on my heart as I got up this morning. And I'll be honest with you, it's one of those deals I didn't even look back to see what I preached here, because this was the only thing God had on my heart. And if I preached it here, he wants me to preach it again. Amen. But this is the only thing. And then Brother Laddie got to praying about John. And the Lord help me. Amen. I appreciate all these men of God that always know what to preach. I want to know what to preach. Amen. And I praise the Lord for his help. Let's stand together. Matthew chapter number 11. And we'll read just a few verses of scripture. You pray for me. I promise you this. I didn't come to perform. I didn't come to jump through any hoops. I'll be honest with you. I didn't necessarily even come to preach. I came to go to church. Amen. Preacher told me years ago, he said, if you'll go to church to worship, see, if you go to church to preach, you might go home disappointed. But said, if you go to church to worship, you don't ever have to go home disappointed. Amen. And I'm well aware he doesn't need me. But I sure am glad he lets me in the fight. Amen. I bless the Lord. The Bible said in verse number 1, it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. When John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto them, "Art thou he that we should come, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? What went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee.' Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You can be seated. I want you to keep your Bible open, and we're going to look back into these verses tonight with the help of the Lord to see what God has to say to our heart. But I want to turn your attention to verse number 4 tonight, where the Bible said these words, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. I'll be honest with you, the appearance of John the Baptist on the pages of the Word of God and the world scene were very significant in the Word of God. It signaled a monumental change of what's going on in the plan of God. The Bible said the law and the prophets were under John, and since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. John's arrival on the pages of Scripture heralded a new day, because shadow was about to become substance and prophecy was about to become fulfillment, and the focus was about to move from Mount Sinai on to Mount Calvary. Happy day that we move from the mountain of the law to the mountain of the grace of God. John the Baptist was a herald of the Lord Jesus, and he was the connecting link between the Old Testament and the New, like Samuel of old. John the Baptist closed one era and ushered in the beginning of another era, as Samuel concluded the time of the judges and brought in the season of the prophets. John the Baptist put the period on the law, and he began to open up the message of the grace of God. As you study the John the Baptist, you realize he was born to be a priest in the temple. I mean, his mother and his father, Zacharias and Elizabeth, came from that ancient priestly line. And Israel in that day, the priesthood was not an open profession. You men of God like me, we ought to rejoice, because if we'd have been born in the Old Testament, most of us would have never got in the ministry, because we wouldn't have been born in the right family, in the right tribe, in the right clan. But aren't you glad? Thank God for the grace of God that, listen, pulled us up from where we were, put the Holy Ghost in us, and put the call of God on our life. Amen. I mean, man, those back in those days, if you'd be a priest, I mean, man, it was an exclusive group. You had to come from a single clan and a single family within that clan. And man, John, he met that criterion. He was from the family of Aaron and the tribe of Levi, and he was destined to be a priest in the temple. But John made a decision before that day come, long before he began to embark on the ministry that he would have as a Hebrew priest in the temple. I mean, long before he would have ever performed the very first ceremonial function as a priest in the house of God, John realized there was a different call on his life. The Lord decided what Israel needed was not another priest after the order of Aaron, but what Israel needed was a leather-lung prophet after the order of Elijah. Amen. So John turned his back on that honored profession of being a priest, and man, he put that mantle of Elijah on. Came out of the wilderness with honey in his beard and a locust in his lips, and began to preach in the power of God Almighty. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Amen. And make his path straight. Aren't you glad? Thank God that you and I have the opportunity to serve Christ like John the Baptist did. When I think about John the Baptist, I think about his esteemed position. The Bible said, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. You talking about a privilege. God allowed John the Baptist to be the forerunner of none other than the lovely Lamb of God. Amen. I tell you what John realized. John realized if they rejected the forerunner, they would reject Christ. In other words, no John, no repentance, no Jesus, no salvation. Amen. I mean, man, he said, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. What an honor, what a privilege. I mean, the Lord could have raised up anybody to fill this position, but he did it in the life of John the Baptist, and he embraced the ministry that God had given him, and he did, man, he came preaching, amen. He came preaching full of the power of God and full of the word of God. And God help us in this hour that you and I, men of God, would operate in that same touch. I think of his esteemed position. But then I think about John the Baptist. I think about his eternal proclamation. My brother Laddie quoted just a minute ago. How about that Lamb of God? Amen. I mean, man, those days, Harold John was standing on that that dusty road looking down through there, and he was hearing the bleeding of those Passover lambs coming through that sheep gate, and he looked down that dusty road, and praise God, it wasn't one of those little Passover lambs off of that Judean hillside, but he looked down that road, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Listen, praise God, I'm glad he didn't say put it away for a year. I'm glad he didn't say put it away for a decade, but blessed be God. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away, I like that term, taketh away the sin. Oh, what about that? I'm so glad I'm not a Calvinist, amen. I'm glad he didn't say he took away the sin of this group or that group, and this color or that color, and that neighborhood or this neighborhood. But blessed be God, I might not have got in, but aren't you glad? Thank God. John said it from the very beginning, as his voice pierced those 400 years of spiritual darkness. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. There's probably not a week, there's probably not a Lord's Day that goes by that John 1:29, it's not quoted somewhere on the annals of this property, of this planet that you and I call Earth. Whether it be in Africa, whether it be in Mexico, whether it be in the United States or the Philippines or wherever it might be, some little man of God's going to step to the pulpit. I mean, listen, friend, what is it that he made that statement 2,000 years ago, but it's still ringing from pulpits today, that he taketh away the sin of the world? Amen. You realize he didn't introduce him as the Son of God? He didn't introduce him as the Holy One of God? He didn't introduce him as the Christ of God? He didn't introduce him as the Word of God? But he said he's the Lamb of God. You realize he's only referred to twice in the Old Testament as the Lamb, once, only twice in the Gospels, once in the book of Acts, once in the epistles. But in Revelation, 27 times he's referred to as the Lamb of God. Who was it worthy to open the book and to loosen the seals of the one that they hung between heaven and earth? I like the way Brother Ballou used to say it. He reached up into heaven and got God by the hand and reached down to earth and got you and I by the hand and reconciled us to God Almighty. Aren't you glad he's the Lamb? The lion didn't do that, and the bread didn't do that, and the door didn't do that, but thank God the Lamb did that. He's the Lamb of God. I bless his name. I mean, I think about that Old Testament question. Oh, Isaac said, where is the Lamb? Amen. Amen. Where is the Lamb? And Abraham said, God shall provide himself a lamb. Amen. And man, that question echoed through the entirety of the Word of God. Where is the Lamb? And old John the Baptist walked out there on that dusty road. He said, hey, Isaac, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Can I tell you, Mary's lamb was God's lamb, who became Israel's lamb, who became the church's lamb. And neighbor, listen to me, 39 years ago on a Sunday morning, about 12:15, to the right side of Brother Edgar's pulpit, are you listening to me? He became my lamb. It wasn't Mary's lamb anymore. He wasn't God's lamb. He wasn't the church's lamb. He wasn't daddy's lamb, and he wasn't mama's lamb. But I met the lamb that morning, and I found out the lamb was the Lord, and he saved me by his marvelous grace. I think about John. I think about his esteemed position. When I think about John, I think about his eternal proclamation. When I think about John, I think about his excellent privilege. How many years you pastored here? 27. You got 3 on me. I'm trying to catch up. Amen. How many baptismal services you think you ever been in? Here at the, a lot of them, ain't you? I've been in a few. I remember the last one. Brother Jack, I remember the last one before we got our first indoor baptistry. I mean, y'all pray for us. We're just getting started at the church. We're young. We're just 206 years old. Y'all pray for us. But back in 2007, we built a fellowship hall, and at that time, we put the baptistry in there. Now we've got one in the church. But I'll never forget that last baptism that we had outside in a concrete pool down below the church in a little hollow behind the church. Man, they had it piped right out of the bottom of the well. And it ran gravity-fed right down there in that concrete pool. Man, it was about November, about the second or third week of November. And some folks said, "Preacher, we'd really like to get baptized before the spring." And I said, "Are you sure? You know baptism doesn't save you." Amen. They said, "We really want to get," and man, it broke off warm for a few days, and I thought, man, we can get it done. And I told them we'd do it. Man, about Thursday, Wednesday, they ran the water out of the well down into the baptistry. And Thursday, it turned off cold. Friday, it didn't get out of the 40s, the low 40s. Saturday, it get out of the low 40s. And Sunday morning, it was mist and rain and 41 degrees. Brother Mark Wiener come up to me, and he said, "Brother Mark," he said, "can I wear my waders today?" I said, "Absolutely not." I said, "because I don't have any waiters." And I said, "if you get in there with waiters on, you'll want to preach for 15 minutes and I'll freeze to death." I said, we're not testifying. We're not preaching. We're not witnessing to anybody. We're baptizing. Amen. Amen. I've been in some good baptismal services, but I don't think I've ever been to one like John the Baptist was in. I've been to some good baptisms, but I don't think I've ever been to one that the Trinity showed up. I mean, man, old John the Baptist is standing out there in that muddy Jordan water, and the Son of God walks out there to him and says, "Man, I need you to baptize me, John." John the Baptist said, "No, I need you to baptize me." Jesus said, "No." He said, "Man, we're going to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Amen. And man, he put the Lamb of God down in that muddy Jordan water, and he brought the Son out of that water. All of a sudden, the heavens opened up, and God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Amen. So he's got the Son of God in his hands. He's got the God the Father in his ear. Amen. And all of a sudden, here comes that Holy Ghost in the form of a dove and lights on the shoulder of the Son of God. I mean, man, what about that, friend? I mean, the Trinity of heaven came to the baptizing, and John the Baptist got to see it. Man, what a man. What a man. And you would think that kind of man would never have the experience that I read to you tonight. Matthew chapter number 11. If we didn't have an honest Bible, if we didn't have a Bible that pulled the curtain back and let you and I see the greatest of the greats in their weakest moment, Are you listening? I'll be honest with you, if our Bible wasn't honest, most of us would have thrown our hands up by now and said, I don't measure up. I'll never measure up. I can't get the job done. I'm imperfect. My flesh is fallen. I mean, listen to me, friend. I mean, one of the evidences that the veracity of this Bible is it doesn't just report the victories. It doesn't just report the good days, but it lets us see the faults and the failures of some of the greatest characters to ever walk across the pages of the Word of God. I think about the lives of Abraham. I think about the lives of Isaac. I think about the loss of temper of Moses. What about that? Oh, Moses, man, he lost his temper and killed that Egyptian. What about that? When Moses was out of the will of God, he couldn't hide one Egyptian soldier. But when he was following the will of God, he buried the entire Egyptian army in the Red Sea. Amen. What about that? There's no telling what God could do in our life if we just walk in the will and the power of God. I think about the adultery and the murder that David committed, the juniper tree experience of Elijah, the pride of Hezekiah, the denials of Peter, and they're all recorded and they're all reported in the Word of God. If you and I had been writing the Bible, we wouldn't wanted somebody to see our forerunner asking the question, are you him? Or do we seek another? Are you listening to me? I think about, look at your Bible, look at verse 2. Verse 2, I find there's a place that'll break us. There's a place that'll break us. Understand this, friend. John the Baptist is not in jail because of sin. John the Baptist is in jail because of service. John the Baptist was not in jail because he was a compromiser. John the Baptist was, listen, John the Baptist was in jail because he told Herod the truth. I mean, Herod liked his preaching until he looked out there and said, hey, Herod, that ain't your wife. That's your brother's wife. And then all of a sudden, Herod didn't like his preaching anymore. All of a sudden, he didn't want to hear John the Baptist preach. All of a sudden, he wanted to throw him in jail. Are you listening to me? What about a man with that kind of backbone to look at the ruler of the country and say, man, you've taken your brother's wife. You ain't right with God. Would have been real easy knowing what he could have done for John the Baptist just to look the other way, but he didn't do that. And now it's cost him. And look at your Bible in verse 2. That Bible said he was in prison. Can I tell you, child of God? Can I tell you there's some dungeons that are overwhelm you? I'm afraid, Brother Grant, that we think that the only people who struggle in the house of God are carnal saved folk. We think the only ones that get overwhelmed are those kids that ride the van or the bus and they're new to the work of God. We think the only young people that struggle come from broken homes where mom and dad doesn't love God and they come to church on their own. We think it's only them that get overwhelmed. That's not what Matthew 11 is telling me. That's not what Matthew 11 is saying. Let me tell you something, man of God. The devil will absolutely wear us out if we let him. He'll wear us out and say, boy, if you was a real Christian, if you were a real preacher, if you were a real servant of God, you would never get overwhelmed. Well, I'd have to take him to Psalm 61 where, listen, the man after God's own heart said, he said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. I don't know about you, but I've never killed a Goliath. Amen. Of the Holy Ghost, David, I believe, was the only Old Testament saint that the Holy Ghost came on on and he never departed. Every other Old Testament saying he came on and he went off and he came on and he went off. But I believe that's why the Bible said it was the sure mercies of David, because the Spirit of God came on him and he never left. And here he was, the man that killed a bear. Here he was, the man that killed a lion. Here he was, the man that stepped up on Goliath's chest and took his sword and cut his head off. And listen, was the hero of all Israel. And now he's overwhelmed. You better be careful looking at somebody else's struggle and judging them, saying, boy, if that's really right with God. Hey, I don't know much about Presbyterian folk. I don't know much about Catholic people. I don't know much about Methodist people or Presbyterian people. But I spend about every night of my life with Baptist people, just like your preacher. And boy, we're really quick to look at somebody else's struggle and say, boy, man, if they'd just walk right, if they'd just do this, if they'd be all right. Amen. You think about it. It didn't say David got overwhelmed with Goliath. David didn't even get overwhelmed with the Philistines. It didn't say David got overwhelmed when that bear came out. It didn't even say David got overwhelmed when that lion came out. I mean, y'all understand, y'all ever see that old southern saying, got a mama that'll slap the taste out of your mouth? Mama didn't ever slap me, but my sister back-talked her one time, and I got the point. I was standing there. I mean, I never heard my mother raise her voice. I mean, man, all she'd ever done, served Brother Edgar, served Brother Willard. My sister, she back-talked her out of the dishwater. Pow! And I was thinking to myself, I stand amazed. In the presence, my mama just whipped my sister. Amen. David didn't slap the taste out of a young'un. He slapped the life out of a lion. Amen. But he didn't get overwhelmed. If a lion doesn't overwhelm him, and a bear doesn't overwhelm him, and the Philistines don't overwhelm him, and Goliath doesn't overwhelm him, what overwhelmed him in Psalm 61? Men smarter than I, Brother Laddie, tell me that David wrote Psalm 61 on his way back to Jerusalem from Absalom's rebellion. He just left Absalom's body hanging in a tree. And he said, Absalom, Absalom, would to God. He said, Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom, would to God that I died for thee. Can I tell you what Goliath couldn't do in David's life, and what the lion couldn't do in David's life, and what the bear couldn't do in Elijah's life? A lost boy, Absalom, dying and going to hell. It overwhelmed David, and he said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that's higher than I. I'm telling you, child of God, there's a dungeon that can overwhelm us. I mean, man, John was a man of the outdoors, and now he's in that dungeon under Mackers' prison. I mean, listen, neighbor, it's difficult to keep a positive attitude in oppressing circumstances. I mean, John the Baptist was in a dungeon. He was a man of the wilderness, and now he's confined. Now he's in the dark. Amen. Daniel said he revealeth the deep and secret things, and he knows what's in the dark. And may I say, child of God, you may be in the dark tonight, but listen, you're not always going to be in the dark. You say, what do you do in the dark? Well, y'all just wander around a little bit. You say, what do you mean? Well, the Bible said that he dwelleth in the thick darkness. So when you get in the dark, just wander around till you bump into him, because he's there. Amen. When you get in a dungeon that's overwhelming you, what dungeon are you in? There's a dungeon overwhelming you. Look at verse 3. There's a doubt that's overtaking him. Matthew's already told us in Matthew 4 that John was arrested. Matthew 14, he's going to tell us why he got arrested. But John began asking questions in Matthew 11. It's a pretty good indication, Brother Brian, he's been in jail for a little while. He's been in jail for a little while. You know, the reality is this, that even for those who seem to be the most faithful, that sometimes faith is not easy. Every one of our heroes that we look to survived a season that we didn't see. You young people have got ladies in this church that you look to as a model of a spirit-filled woman and what you want to be when you grow up. And it looks like to you from looking on the outside, looking in, that man, they just, it doesn't matter what punches keep coming, they just take it and go on. And they walk in victory and they walk in the power of God. You young men have got men in the church, whether they be preachers or whether they just be the preacher's mighty men that you look to and you desire to be that kind of man. And when you look at them, you think, man, nothing moves them. Nothing shakes them. I mean, man, they're just stalwarts and giants for Christ. But every one of them, whether it be a senior saint of God, a lady, or a man of God, they survived a season that we didn't see.
That's right.
How in the world, Brother Led, does a man that's called to be the herald of the Son of God get to the place that he said, go down and ask him if he's the one, or do we seek another? Let's just be honest, preachers. If we had a brother that we knew that got that low, many of us would distance ourselves from him. Think about this. Think about who this was. This was a man who was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. John the Baptist did something, Brother Jack, that most Baptists, he did it before his birth, something that most Baptists never do in their lifetime. John shouted before he was ever born.
Amen.
I mean, man, Mary comes up with the Jesus in her womb, walks up to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist rears up in Elizabeth and said, whoa, that's him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I mean, man, it's probably a miracle he stayed in the womb and didn't break the water and arrive. I mean, I'm talking about, that's the man that I'm talking about whose doubts now have overtaken him. Your mom just went to heaven. 2021, I buried both my parents within 12 days of one another. One of the biggest difficulties that I had, I watched my mom get that Alzheimer's. All I'd ever seen was her serve God. That's all I'd ever seen. I'd never seen her immodest. I'm talking about in the home. Never. She washed my mouth out, not for saying curse words. She'd have killed me for saying cuss words. But she washed my mouth out. She'd have washed Gomer Pyle's mouth out. Amen. You remember what he used to say on them shows? You know, that something Lee, you know? You know, he'd say that. You say, are you going to say it? No, because my mama would resurrect and wipe and wash my mouth out again. I'm just praising Jesus. They didn't have liquid soap back then. I'd have never got it out of my mouth. I mean, I believe she helped the Lord get me ready to preach. She put that big old thick bar of ivory soap in my mouth. If, you know, if I said what you do to a gun, you know, what you do with a gun, you know, you pull the trigger and shoot that gun. If I said that, slang, like, you know, anyway, she still got the fear of God in me. She'd put that ivory soap bar in my mouth, and she'd tap it on the bottom, sink my teeth into it, and plow two furrows as she pulled it out. Amen. It's blowing bubbles for a week. All I'd ever seen her do was be a faithful servant of God. And then she got sick. And I wish I could tell you I never got so discouraged with it. I said that I didn't say, why, Lord? Why her? Would it be all right if I admitted to you? I said, Lord, why couldn't it have been some drunkard, some old drunkard lady that doesn't even love her children or her husband? Why couldn't they have got sick? Why did it have to be my mom? Y'all pray for me now. I don't know any other way, just to be honest with you. There were some real struggles with that. And man, it really hit when I walked in that first day, that first time when she looked at me and didn't know who I was. Those doubts begin to overtake us. Those doubts begin to overtake us. You say, why do doubts come, preacher? Why do doubts come? I tell you why doubts come. Doubts come because of difficult situations. I mean, you think about it, man. He's not in jail because he sinned, but he's in jail and he's in prison because he was bold and faithful in proclaiming the truth. I mean, man, he was in a difficult place. Sometimes doubt come because of unmet expectations. Proverbs said, hope deferred maketh the heart sick when it doesn't work out the way we thought it should. When, man, we had this idea of how God was going to do it, and it didn't work out like that. And because God didn't do it the way we thought he should do it, hey, friend, all of a sudden our doubts begin to overtake us. What about limited perception? When you just can't understand what God's doing. I mean, you think about it, John the Baptist is thinking, man, I just got through preaching about the judgment. He's going to burn the chaff. And he said, the judgment's slow in coming. I mean, Lord, I don't understand. You said you were a man to prepare the way. The king's coming. He said, man, I don't see any kingdom. Lord, you hear you doing all these miracles, but you ain't done nothing to get me out of jail. What about the distance that's overbearing him? Look at your Bible. Look at verse 1. Listen at these two words. He departed. You know what gets me, Brother Chris, and y'all feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but I find nowhere in the text where Jesus ever visited John in prison. You mean if he was in jail for preaching and he got time to go to a meeting, you don't think you'd go by Sunday afternoon before you leave on Monday and say, preacher, look, just let you know I'm praying for you. I'll be back in town. I'll be back to see you. Yeah. I believe you'd do that, and I believe I'd do that. Yes. But Jesus didn't. At distance. He's in prison, but he ain't feeding the Lord. He's in a dungeon, but he can't find Christ. You know what bothers me? It's been a while since some of us have felt him in our life, but it don't bother us. It's been a while since we've enjoyed the manifest. You say, preacher, do you know what church you're in? You better believe I do. I've been sick all day about coming up here when you got one of the greatest men of God in America that preached to you every week. And if you think I'm blowing smoke, I'd say that at our place. I know where I'm at. I know who your man of God is. But I know our flesh, it doesn't matter how good it is, we can get used to it, take it for granted. I'm talking about, man, I'm in jail, Lord. I'm your forerunner. I'm your herald. I've gone before you and paved the way for you, and you've left me in jail. There's a place that's breaking us. Number two, I want you to notice there's some proof that's blessing us. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm doing this really homiletically correct. I've preached how many ever minutes, don't look. Amen. Now I'm going to give you my title, my text of verse 4. I like him red words. Go and show John again. The Lord help me. I want to preach for just the next few minutes on this thought. Touch me again, Lord. That's what I need. touch me again, Lord. Maybe you're in that place that's breaking you, in a dungeon that's overwhelming you, and doubts are overtaking you, and the distance between you and Christ is overbearing you. I've got good news, praise God. At least John knew where to go to get help. Amen. He didn't run to Jerusalem book. Amen. I mean, he went down there to the place and where the Lord was working and the power of God was moving. He knew where the answer was. I'm telling you, we're listening. Oh, we're so good at cleaving to and cultivating our doubts. It's a habit of our fallen nature. Amen. Instead of rejoicing about the thousands of answered prayer that God has answered in our prayer, we concentrate on the three or four or the five that we've not seen him do. Instead of counting our blessings, we focus on our needs. See, John knew there was a person to pursue. When you're sick, you go where you can get well, not where you can get sicker. Are you listening to me? There's one thing about John the Baptist. He knew who had the answer. He knew he didn't have the answer, but he knew where it was. Amen. And he couldn't get there, so he sent somebody down there to get it for him. Amen. There's a person to pursue. Notice your Bible. There's proof to ponder. Notice there's prophetic proof. In these verses, verse 5, he's quoting Isaiah 35, and verse 5 and 6, and he's quoting Isaiah 61, verses that John the Baptist would have known. He knew that only one man could do that. He knew that only one man could fulfill those promises and those prophecies. And he knew when he got that word, when they got back with that word, what about that John the Baptist found his answer in the word of God? And not even in the living word, but it was the written word. Aren't you glad? Thank God. We've got the same written word that's got the answers for our dungeons and got the answers for our doubts. Listen to me, friend. How you handle your doubts, I want to determine how your doubts handle you. Amen. Listen, Brother Rudy used to say it this way. Don't doubt in the dark what God showed you in the light. It's as much the truth when the sun's shining as when the lightnings are flashing and when the clouds have rolled in. Aren't you glad we've got the written word? Amen. He said, my doctrine, the Lord said, my doctrine is from him that sent me. I'm glad, thank God, there's one answer. There's many errors, but we can get our same help from the same place that John the Baptist got his. Everybody look at your Bible. Look at verse 6. I want you to just underline somewhere. We've looked at that prophetic proof. But I want you to look at this proof. Notice, I'm going to enunciate some words. Y'all just underline them. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached. Now, I'm not the sharpest tack in the box. And if you're the sharpest tack in your box, you need a different box. Amen. Because you ain't going to never get better hanging around folks that you're better than. Amen. They asked me, I got last week at Brother Raines, I got to preach with Brother Finney and Brother McBride. And they had both preached on Sunday night. So they preached on Monday morning, I preached Monday night. And you're talking about knocking it out of the park Monday morning. Somebody said, Brother Mark, what'd you do Monday afternoon? I just went and made sure I was called to preach. On Wednesday night, I was sitting by Brother Raines, and Brother McBride's preaching. And Brother Raines said, how many times you read that? I said, obviously not enough to see what he saw. I told Mother McBride one time, I said, I really appreciate you making me feel like I've never read my Bible. It's a real blessing. Amen. I sure don't come out from hearing him preach prideful. I'm checking up. I mean, about like years ago, in this building. No, it was at the other building. Oh, brother, three messages in the morning. Brother James Jones got up and preached out of Ruth chapter 3 on the word until. preached 50 minutes on the word until. He got done preaching, Brother Ladd, and I thought, man, maybe one day I can grow up and be a preacher like that. Man, right behind that, Brother Dean come up and preached on Selah. The only time outside the book of Psalms is Habakkuk preached on Selah, 50 minutes. And I thought, I ain't even called to preach. And then here comes Brother Dana Williams, John 2. It's like, amen, you remember. You probably didn't feel like I did, but anyway. 6 out of the first 10 verses start with and. And Brother Dana Williams preached on the joining ministry of the Lord. And he preached on about 50 minutes on the word and. 3 hours, and I've heard 3 messages on 3 words. Brother Dana got down in that John 2, and he said, I want you to look at your Bible at them red words. He said, aren't you thankful for those red words? He said, where you just look down there and you just feel like Jesus is speaking to you. And I looked in my Bible, and they were all black words. I said, man, I ain't even saved. I ain't even got any red words where Jesus is talking to me. So I'm just admitting I'm not the sharpest tack in the box. Some people graduate from college magna cum laude and some summa cum laude and some cum laude. I graduated, thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. But I did take English 101 and English 102 and English 201 and English 202. Never did know why a finance major had to take English. I mean, because there was no grammar on that calculator. Amen. But I passed. And if you'll notice the words, if you underline the words I enunciated, every one of those are verbs. Somebody tell me what tense those verbs are in. They're all in the present. It's not just prophetic proof John got. There's some present proof. I'm glad you and I don't have to always go to the bookshelf and find what God did in the generations before us. I'm glad we can look around. I'm glad we can see what God's doing right now. Hey, child of God, it might not be just where you like you want it to be in your life, but just take a moment and look around. You don't have to just rely on prophetic proof and promise proof. But I'm glad, thank God, if you'll look close enough, there's some present proof. Present proof. You know, here's a blessing. We're always trying to find something new, aren't we? What about the help that John the Baptist got wasn't new help? He said, go show John again. In other words, roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human. And humans forget. So remind me. Remind me, dear Lord. What do you need for God to show you again? It's not some new word. He might need just to take you by the hand and walk you down memory lane and just remind you what he's done in your life, your home. There's a place that'll break you. There's a proof that'll bless you. Come on back to the piano. Come on, son. Get ready. Thank you for listening. But there's a perspective that'll build you. If you and I'm so glad I'm not the Lord, because I'd have wrote a whole lot of people off that he hadn't wrote off. What would you have done, Brother Gravely, if the old preacher man would have come to you after preaching to you your entire childhood? And he come over and said, hey, son, I know we came and got you on the bus and I've preached to you all your life and I've trained you, but I'm in a tough spot. And what I need you to do is I need you to run down there and ask him if he's really the one. Or do we seek another? What would that have done to you? I believe it'll, if Brother Edgar would have told me that, or Brother Willard would have told me that, it would have crushed me. I thought, man, if that man of God don't know who he is, how in the world am I going to know who he is? And if we'd have been the Lord and maybe our trusted confidant, our forerunner said, man, Lord, are you it? Some of us would say, man, if you don't know now, by now, you can leave. But what about a God that didn't do that? Notice your Bible. Look at your Bible. Verse number 11. Verily, verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there have not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Can I say it this way? When John the Baptist was saying the worst that he had ever said about Jesus, Jesus was saying the best about John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, are you he or do we seek another? And the Lord said, you know, John the Baptist, there's none born of woman greater than he is. I mean, you think about that. They were some greats. David, Daniel, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Noah. Amen. I mean, man, you talking about some greats? Andrew, the soul winner. And think about this. The Lord just wasn't speaking from the past. He knew who was going to be born in the future. He knew Paul was coming. And he said, notwithstanding, there's none born a woman that's greater than him. What about a God that deals with us with mercy and love when we know better? And the devil will beat the daylights out of you. And the Lord's saying, just come on over here. I wonder how many of us on a Monday night, I know where I'm preaching. I know who your preacher is. I know what kind of services you like to have, same kind I like to have. Holy Ghost Church. Amen. If people want dead church, they can have it. But I'm not interested in it. Are you listening? I know I've been in some of those services with you. I'm talking about some unreal services. But I wonder how many would be honest tonight. And you say, preacher, if I was truthful with you, I'd say I need the Lord to touch me again. I need God to show me again. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm doing my best to live right. But it's been a while since I felt him lay his hand on me. You say, well, preacher, I'm a Sunday school teacher. So? Preacher, I'm a leader. So? Preacher, I'm a deacon. So? I'm a pastor, and I need him to touch me. I'll be honest with you, the last 6 weeks in our ministry of our church family have been the hardest 6 weeks I've gone through in 21 years. Some of you kids that have come to music camp, Brother Mark would remember Miss Julianne that taught the piano, taught you the shape notes, taught you the timing. 6 weeks ago, she was on the piano on Sunday, and she was in heaven Wednesday morning. I'm talking about a lady that played that piano for 21 years, maybe missed 5 services in 21 years, 1 Sunday in 21 years. Could sing anything or play anything that I needed her to sing. I could walk over there when the choir was coming down, and I could say, Miss Julianne, would you sing before I preach? About 120 seconds, she had either a book or her phone on the piano, on there where you put the music. And for some way, she just always sang the right song. And she just sang it in the power of God. And I know y'all won't believe this, but I'm wound pretty tight. I'm pretty excitable. And she'd get me singing, "He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock." Amen. And God would come and get me ready to preach. Yes. And like that, she was gone. She taught a generation how to read music, how to sing. She composed the music for the choir. She helped teach the parts. Played at the youth meeting, played at camp, worked in the Marksman music camp. She was mine and Miss Amy's friend. She set the tone many times in that worship service. And she was gone. I'll be honest with you, Brother Chris, it hit me harder than my parents' death. You say, why? Because everywhere I looked and listened, I would hear sing, play, teach. And I got to wondering, where do we go from here? Well, we got some ladies that are going to play, and it's going to take multiple ones to do what she did. But none of them individually, nor any of them collectively, had the skills that she had. And you know what I needed? I needed the Lord. Most of the time, I don't struggle to sleep. But for 6 weeks, I've been up in the night. And really, all I needed him to do was just touch me again. I wasn't backslid. I wasn't a drunkard. I wasn't doping it up. I'm not running around with strange women. But in one phone call, I found myself in a dungeon. And in the dark, overtaken by doubt. I'm not lazy on God. I think I preached 60 meetings last year outside of our church. I don't say that boastfully. I'm not. I'm just trying to make a point. I'm in church every week. 2 weeks out of the year, I'm not in church. When we go on vacation with our family and when I go on our anniversary trip with my wife, other than that, I'm in church every week. And in a moment, dungeon came. Doubts came. Distance came. So I just sort of believe if I could find myself there, just maybe you could find yourself there. You say you got any answers? No. Not right yet. Don't know exactly how all that's going to work out. But I can tell you there's been a few times over the last 6 weeks. He's come by. He's touched me again. You say, well, I wouldn't. Why in the world would a preacher have me to preach if I'm in that place? Look here. You serve God long enough, you'll be in a dungeon before too long. But if you'll admit, I just need you to touch me again. Show me again. Help me again. Be a good thing on a Monday night just to say, Lord. But we used to sing that song years ago a lot. Touch me again, Lord. That's what I need. I need thy strength in this trying hour. You said if I'd ask, I'd surely receive. So touch me again, Lord. That's what I need. Young'uns, you find yourself in a place of doubt, God's not going to throw you away. Just let him show you again. We're standing. He's singing. I wonder how many of us might slip around an altar and say, Lord, would you touch me again? Would you touch me again? John the Baptist needed it. I'd venture to say some of us need it. Sing on, my brother.